Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Breton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. How's it going, brother?
Hey, man, what's going on?
Oh, man, not much. Anybody that missed it, don't tune in right this second. Wait till we're done. But posted an interview, recorded it this morning, Shane, with Adam Sparks.
Great guy.
Knoxville News Sentinel. His wife is a huge fan. We opened the show with that, the interview with that, and he said, well, technically, she's more of a Cousin Shane fan than you. So, getting it from all angles, even today, yes, we got on. But it was interesting. It wasn't just Tennessee. It was more about how, you know, can these schools, can they be everything schools?
Yeah.
In this revenue sharing era. So go check that out as soon as this one's done. You know what?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's always great to catch up with him. Usually we follow him on Feinbaum. It seems like we're on the same page. So
yeah,
it's always good catching up with him. Great interview. And like you said, after the show, be sure to bounce over there and check that out, because it's got a lot of cool stuff in it for sure.
And then I didn't even ask Shane this off air. So if we don't have to go down this road, we just found out we can mute each other's mics. Mute my mic if I need to, Shane. But did you run into somebody? They sent us an email, and are we allowed to talk about that?
Yeah. I got busted here. Got busted.
We got an email.
I thought you were going to bring it up. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll read you. I was trying to upload the photo here.
I can't blend in the wild. You know, it's like, I wish I could put a Peaky Blinder hat on and just go out there in public and nobody recognize who I am, but... You know, when you're big Cousin Shane, you're going to stand out, especially if you're headed toward a buffet.
So that's exactly what happened. We got an email. Hey, funny, I just recognized Shane in Cherokee Casino. Mm-hmm. And then it says in parentheses, headed to the breakfast buffet, by the way. And I asked for a picture. His wife said, how do you know him? And he said, does she not know Shane is famous? So Shane can't go anywhere without getting recognized. You know what?
Yeah, especially near buffets. You know, usually I'm on a list, don't allow in. So I try to sneak in as much as I can, but it was good catching up with these guys, big dog fans. And that, I will tell you right now, Mike, I should have walked away right there in that photo. That man right there on the right is up $1,000 at this point.
Wow.
Walked away down 200.
Yeah.
Just kept waiting to hit it. Those progressives, they get you, man. The progressives I hate, I don't know if you've ever really played slots, Mike.
No, but, can you explain the progressives for me?
Yeah, so basically every game's got a version of, you know, you're trying to hit a specific thing, but there's something building up here. So in this scenario, let's say there's a cat and he's got this big bowl of coins. And every time you're betting, sometimes they'll drop coins in this thing and it'll get bigger and it'll start shaking. So, you know, eventually this progressive's going to hit. And then that's when you're going to have a nice little jackpot, you know? Well, the problem is sometimes that fat cat just stays there the whole time. And you feel in the back of your mind, like, if I walk away from this machine, the next guy's going to come up here and take my money. So you keep rolling, you keep going. And next thing you know, you never hit it. So that's the progressive. Now, sometimes they're great, and I've got a system. It's a terrible system. I don't recommend it if you're not a gambler. But as soon as I hit anything, like a significant payout, I immediately get up from that machine and I move to another. And and unfortunately, that system doesn't work if the machine never hits. It's just me force feeding this thing and not making any money.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, well, appreciate that breakdown. Sponsored by Cherokee Casino. What was that this morning? Was that last night? When the heck was
that? That was a while ago. I was actually a few LBs higher at that moment. You know, so for those that are paying attention, I did not hit the buffet this week. I've been a good boy. So
okay, did you hit the golf course since we last spoke to you?
No, I've not. It has been, I don't know what's going on, man. It feels like Seattle, Washington here. You know, I always assume it rains every day. We must be near the rainforest or something, because every day I look out the window, there's an 80% chance of shit coming our way. And unfortunately, that doesn't bode well with the golf course. because they slapped that cart path only, and I'm still fat, Mike, and I'm not there for exercise. I am there for exercise, but not that much exercise. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get out there either tomorrow, definitely tomorrow, I think. It looks like it's going to be the best day we have this week. But yeah, don't worry. I'll find the course here sooner than later.
Cousin Tony says Shane's going to be hitting me up for a loan before long.
Come on, Tony. Let me have just a few bucks. It's about to hit, man. I got a system.
So on this show, Shane, show topic.
Yeah.
ESPN ranked every SEC offseason, ranked them all.
Ooh, okay.
So I figured we kind of, you know, share what they shared and see if we agree, whether we disagree. But one thing we did see, mm-hmm. we were talking about it off air. I mean, you know, this is a slow time when we're bringing shit like this up. But our buddy T-Bob.
Yeah, congratulations.
Getting ripped away from Louisiana sports media. Mm-hmm. He got the big call from old Barstool. So, yeah, congrats to old T-Bob. But, you know, the real question is, what would it take for Shane to get that call? Like, what's it going to take to get Shane to lure away from our little show here?
Just simple Golden Corral, you know, or some sort of gold card where I don't have to pay anymore. I will say this first time, and congratulations, T-Bob, all that hard work. I was glad he got the shot. I think they got an excellent guy there. First time I ever met T-Bob was at SEC Media Days, and I'll never forget. I think this was the Nashville one. He walks in, and this is a guy wearing shorts and cowboy boots and a cowboy hat. And I was like, who the F is this guy? You know, and that was my initiation to T-Bob. He's come on the show several times. I know you've done their show several times. He's an absolute riot, and it couldn't happen to a better guy.
Well,
he doesn't look like it, but he's a really hard worker in this industry. He is like the opposite of me, you know.
Well, speaking of good guys, Shane, I know someone up there that's right up there with him.
Who's that?
Cousin JR. Oh, he's done it again, Shane. He's gifted another membership to the channel.
Legend. Cousin JR has done it again.
This time it's Adrian Mueller. Adrian,
welcome to the family.
Courtesy to the family.
A legend JR.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
Yep. And then we appreciate you, Brad, Cousin Brad. He gave us $5, Shane, donating to Shane's gambling recovery program. Yeah.
What do you think the over-under is that he listens? That he attends?
Another legend, Shane.
Oh, there he is.
Horton hears you. Just gifted a membership.
Well, apparently, Horton couldn't hear you. So he's gifting you a membership.
Appreciate you, Horton. Let's see who he gave it to. Horton, you have blessed Brodo Baggins. Brodo,
welcome to the family.
The family.
Welcome to the family.
I think Brodo's been here for, you know, and it's like one of those cousins that, you know, he just got out of rehab and we're finally inviting him back to the picnic. So, Brodo, welcome back to the family, brother.
Yep. And I think it's a rough day for Brodo, too, because I know he's a big Snaps fan for T-Bob and them. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's losing T-Bob, too, just like we all are to old Barstool. Whoa.
Uh-oh.
JR just gifted five more, Shane.
Come on, cuz.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
He's done it, Shane. This time, Jeff Phillips, Jeff P., Marcus Roberts, Drew, and Migrating Coconuts.
Welcome to the family.
Welcome courtesy
to the family.
A legend, JR. Man, what a... We don't deserve these cousins.
No,
you know what?
No, JR keeps that up. You're going to buy another dumb hat. I can tell you right now.
DJ just became a member.
Oh, come on, man. Member for 6 months, DJ. Welcome back to the family. I guess he's been here.
Welcome to the family.
I think we get that alert when they re-up. So,
okay. DJ
welcome
back to the family.
Yeah. We're gonna have to do back too.
I don't know. We'll have to have ears to this thing. So yeah, DJ, appreciate you, cuz.
Yeah, that's awesome. So man, I don't even know where to start here, Shane. But
let me ask you, Mike.
Yes, sir.
We've been covering SEC football for quite some time, and it feels like they're always adding stuff. You know, I remember the portal wasn't a thing. I remember NIL wasn't a thing, and it feels like we're adding more and more and more. But do you think if you remove kind of that part, just the stuff that people like to talk about or have been talking about the last 2 years, do you think this has been an unusual offseason, a productive offseason? I mean, like, what would you, for this conference as a whole, do you think this is more, I don't know. It feels like there was a lot of hits definitely during the portal time, but I don't know. As the dust settles, I didn't feel like it was a crazy one, mainly because I guess there was no coaching searches and stuff like that. What are your thoughts on this offseason so far?
Yeah, I hate to say it, Shane, because we know, this could be, I know people are like done and over talking about them, but the only thing that really this offseason that has been of any noteworthy for me was the whole Nico saga.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from that, this has been a weird offseason. The coaches have neutered the spring.
Yeah.
And I think they've done that on purpose for a variety of factors, but hopefully we get back to spring. I think not having spring games killed us.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really did. And limiting access to spring practice. And I would like to see that back. I think we need to do away with the spring portal, which it sounds like they're making steps to doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this has been a weird one. And maybe you nailed it because no coaching changes.
Mm-hmm.
But, I talked to a lot of people about this stuff and I don't know how the cousins feel, but I am at the point where like I'm just so over like what are the new rules?
Yeah,
we need Congress help. We need this change. We need that change. I like it when we're just talking about football.
Yeah,
and I feel like I try to go down that road as often as I can, but it's this other stuff like overtakes it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember, I keep bringing it up, but media days when we walked in and Sankey started, first thing you talked about was AI. And I was like, what the hell? What the hell has this game become? You know, we got to talk about AI for 15 minutes. And now I'm starting to see the effects of AI in college football, which isn't huge, but I tell you what, there's some stuff in the background. And you're right. I feel like all we do is we bicker and moan about the rules, the NIL, and it's the same shit over and over again. But I think, brother, I don't know. It's just a gut feeling. But I think about all of the SEC seasons that I've seen in my short 42 years on this earth, and I feel like this is the closest that football teams have been as a collection ever. And what I mean by that, I feel like the ceiling is extremely high, but there's other teams hovering toward it. I feel like the floor has been lowered or raised, and now we have teams, all 16 are fighting for bowl games and ruining college football playoff opportunities for other SEC teams. Brother, the parity, I feel like, has never been better than it is leading into this football season, which I think is going to lead to one of the most epic football years that we've ever seen, Mike. I have a true feeling that we may get to the end of the season and have two lost teams battling each other in an SEC championship. I could see that scenario happening.
Yeah, and to your point, I was bringing this up while you were talking. I saw this making the rounds today. I don't think this was anything new, though. I think these are numbers we've been talking about them for a while. But
yeah.
For anybody just listening back later, so the over-under win totals, we talk about them all the time. But, when you see them all like this, it really hit home for me. Yes, we got a couple teams at the top, Alabama, Georgia, Texas, all at 9.5. And Tennessee was there before the Nico saga. But I'm not trying to highlight the teams at the top. I'm trying to highlight the fact that, Shane, we got LSU, Ole Miss, Tennessee, all at 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
We got Auburn, Missouri, South Carolina, A&M, all at 7.5, Florida, Oklahoma, 6.5, even Arkansas, who people are like writing off already, 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when have we ever been 13 deep where you know the win totals between LSU, who you and many people, myself included, have as a playoff team, maybe a championship team. Mm-hmm. Your over-under is three higher than Arkansas, who everybody says, well, the coach is going to get fired. He sucks. You know what I mean? Like, this is parity right here. And I think this is why the SEC wants to get towards, even though we all hate it, and I understand it, and I kind of agree, but why they want to get to, like, all right, you got to guarantee us four playoff spots because mm-hmm. we're killing each other. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, Ole Miss may be the fourth team. Alabama may be the 14th like they were last year. South Carolina right there. But one of those teams should have made it, because if they were in the ACC, they're in the Big 12, they're in the Big 10, they would have made the playoff like a stupid Indiana team. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. They ran the board, you know, and then we would have. There's no way in Alabama, South Carolina, both would have been in if they were in the ACC. So I totally agree with you, but I don't know, brother. I just feel like we're getting caught in this like the legal side of it, and I understand right. where it's coming from, and the coach is going to be harping on it down there in the meetings. But I feel like at the end of the day, the product is going to be an absolute, I mean, we're going to be glued to the damn TV. If I see one damn wedding invitation heading my way, I'm going to find some dirt on them, and I'm going to end that marriage before it gets started, Mike. That's just where I'm at.
Yeah, I believe.
With AI, you know.
Well, I think you've told me on the record, you're like, the only wedding I'm going to will be my daughter's, and that's the list.
Yeah, and I'll be on a bye week, so I know the rules.
All right, so you ready to get into this best SEC offseason? Again, this not I thought it'd be kind of cool because it's for once it's not my list, Shane.
Yeah,
so we could pick it apart. You guys call us an idiot. I didn't even do this, so can't blame me if that makes sense. All right,
let's do it.
All right, number one, Shane. This should not be a stunt. Well, it's surprising, but not a stunner. They give it to LSU, Shane. Number one offseason in the SEC to them LSU Tigers. And again, they're kind of highlighting the players they lost, players they gained. And this includes the draft, because that's technically the offseason, right?
Yep.
Portal, obviously, high school recruiting, all that factored in. And they just really love, you know, the one thing that went wrong, they lost that quarterback, Bryce Underwood, to Michigan. Mm-hmm. That was a blow to their recruiting class. But what went right, of course, Garrett Nussmeier's back. We got year two of Blake Baker. They added five transfer defensive linemen, four transfer defensive backs. And they got it's still in an elite high school class, even with losing Bryce Underwood. And they got guys like Nick Anderson from Oklahoma at receiver, Barrion Brown from Kentucky. So potentially, you know, all the pieces are in place for LSU to make a big, big run. What's your thoughts when you hear ESPN named LSU as the best offseason in the SEC?
I would, you know, the best is, I guess that's your opinion, but I feel like LSU is definitely in that top three mix. And for me, it's more about the transfer portal. This is a team that, if you remember at the end of last season, it felt like, I mean, there were people talking about Coach Kelly on the hot seat. They were talking about this team imploding, and then all of a sudden you get your quarterback to come back, which is not even the portal. I think keeping him from going to the NFL, which he would have been drafted, I think that's huge. And then like you said, you pair that with Nick Anderson and Peyton and Jack down there, you know, stealing him from Florida. I feel like just how active they were in this portal, it bodes well for their version of a final dance, if you will. And this is, it kind of feels like some of these SEC teams put all their chips on the table. And when your coach is coming out here and giving some of his own money, you know, I mean, ask Gundy about donating his own money, you know, they don't like doing it, but here he is coming out here, putting his money where his mouth is, getting the players needed to get LSU back on the map. And I think that's exactly what they've done, because if it didn't happen, brother, LSU could have been in real trouble going into 2025. So I like them toward the top here for sure.
And one thing I heard discussed about LSU recently was last year, obviously they blew up the defensive coaching staff, mm-hmm. but the roster was largely the same.
Yeah.
And there was progress, but clearly not enough. This year, they've kind of not completely bloated, because they still got Weeks, they still got Harold Perkins, they still got a couple key defensive players back, but they really, really went heavy on the portal. Mm-hmm. To I'm sure guys at Blake Baker really wanted to fit his system. So no excuses this year. This has got to be a new defense. I'm not saying it's got to be like the best defense in the SEC, but if they're top five-ish defense, mm-hmm. if you were to guarantee me that, I'd say LSU's going to the college football playoff.
Yeah. How confident are you? Problem is I haven't seen it. You know, I've been preaching the LSU defense is going to get better for 3 years now. So I kind of got to see that. But if you're right, if they do take that step forward, if they at least come close to the top five on that defense, there's no reason they can't be in the mix for the playoffs.
Right. And then, so number two, best offseason in the SEC, according to ESPN. And I would have put this team number one, Oklahoma. Ball.
Oh, Shane. Sorry. Yeah. That
of course, blow it up. Everybody on offense. We got offensive coordinator Ben Arbuckle, mm-hmm. John Mateer. I think he's already won the Heisman, Shane, with the way some people are talking about him. Here's what they said, though, went wrong. Did they do enough to bolster the receiver room and the offensive line that didn't hold up its end of the bargain last year? But they upgraded at quarterback, running back with Jaden Knott from Cal, mm-hmm. receiver. Added some receivers, and you know I guess you could look at this as a negative, but I look at it as a positive. Brent Venables taking over the defense, at least the defensive play calling, where he was probably he was very involved already. Yeah. But I think the defense will be better served with him calling it once again. So ESPN, interesting, they called him offseason national champs, yet they gave LSU number one, but. Yeah, Oklahoma number two. I mean, I think that's fine. We're splitting hairs here.
Yeah, I for me too, though, it's not just Mateer, it's the coordinator. You know, I so many times you bring in a new OC and it feels like it takes a couple of seats. Look at Texas A&M. I feel like that's a perfect program that they'll probably hit year two. Year one, there were some growing pains, but when Mateer's used to this, I feel like this is a team that actually could hit the ground running, which they're going to need to, because Oklahoma, we've talked a lot about their schedule and how favorable it can be if you do start out. I mean, I've looked at the Michigan. We talked about the Auburn. You get past those guys. You know, this is an Oklahoma team that's 5-0, 4-1 at least, I would imagine, mm-hmm. going into that Texas matchup. And all of a sudden, I feel like the tide's turned a little bit. And this is it. You know, one thing about, you know, the NIL and the portal, this is, you can do this. You can flip the script. You know, Oklahoma was in the gutter last year. We all know that. It was absolute dog shit if you were watching. I mean, it was embarrassing to watch. I can't imagine being an Oklahoma fan. But then, instead of folding up or packing your bags, you know, they went out and they were one of the most aggressive teams to fix, to remedy this solution. And I felt like there were some really good gets all the way from the general manager down to, like I said, the coordinator and the players you brought on the football team. So, yeah, all that being said, that's a nice package to being aggressive, because Venables, maybe not like a Kelly situation, but backs against the walls and it's time to put up or shut up. And I think that's where they're at right now. And I expect big things from Oklahoma because of it.
All right. Well, I know you expect a lot of this team too, Shane. Number three, best offseason, according to ESPN. How about them Auburn Tigers, Shane? Oh, buddy, maybe Shane's absolutely right about this team. What went wrong? 23 players left via the portal, but only two of them, Shane, two out of 23, had more than three starts last year for the Auburn Tigers. So lost a lot, but maybe not a lot of, you know, very great players. And now they did lose seven defensive backs and three quarterbacks. So, you know, those two rooms totally largely new. But what went right, of course, bringing in Jackson Arnold, bringing in Deuce Knight. And the hope is with Jackson Arnold, he'll have maybe the best receiving core in the SEC. The Georgia Tech transfer, Eric Singleton, everybody's high on that guy. Horatio Fields, he was another one from Wake Forest. And they got Cam Coleman, Malcolm Simmons back, and they got a big left tackle, Chaplin, from Virginia Tech.
Killer hair, by the way.
Xavier Chaplin. Yeah, so I bet he didn't have a hat this cool. But anyway, so surrounded with talent, it's now or never for Hugh Freeze, but it's also probably now or never for Jackson Arnold with old Deuce Knight, you know, snipping at his heels. You know what I mean?
You know, and the thing I like about Auburn, and maybe this is why I'm high on him, it's like if I were playing NCAA, these are the kids I wanted. You know, they were the big names, the heavy hitters. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get a couple receivers and a quarterback, and I'm going to change the trajectory of this program. And that's why maybe I'm, you know, you get to the wheat. We're going to, I mean, this is still Hugh Freeze's football team. You know, there's going to be some growing pains, of course, and there's going to be probably some dumb mistakes. But, brother, if this pairs well, if this works, and I think it can, Auburn may be the biggest surprise of all the SEC teams based off last year's result. Here's a team didn't even make a bowl game, and I've said it once, I'll say it twice. This is a team that can flirt with those playoffs because of how aggressive they were in this offseason.
Mm-hmm. But isn't it just the Auburn way, Shane, where like they can win the national championship, they could go 4-8. You know what I mean? Like that just seems to be in their DNA, doesn't it?
Well, if Charles Barkley just donates some more money, you know, they would be all right. I mean, he's done. He is done.
All right, how about the number four offseason according to ESPN, Shane? Texas, mighty Texas. What went wrong? Well, they had to replace 13 starters. Mm-hmm. All of them in the NFL off that Ohio State game. So that is tough. But what went right? Signed the number one recruiting class. Minimal roster attrition aside from all those guys going to the NFL. And they just signed 5 transfer defensive linemen. They signed a tight end out of the portal. They signed a kicker. Needed a kicker. Mm-hmm. They signed a punter. I don't know why. They don't punt down there in Texas, do they? But they got a punter, too, from old Utah. So shoring up deficiencies, that's what you want to see. And man, they should be as loaded as ever down there in Austin. So number four SEC offseason, them Texas Longhorns, Shane.
Well, you know, we always said, is Texas and Oklahoma even ready for the SEC? And at times it felt like yes, but then there was times you felt like no. And I think Rusty Manziel said it best, you know, fantastic interview. Don't check it out now, but do some point. He talks about Texas got their asses kicked up front by them big uglies. And so what does Texas do? It says, we don't need those wide receivers that Auburn has. We need some damn muscle up front. And that's what they did. They got some of the best linemen that were in this transfer portal. And I think now they're a little bit more SEC ready.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, they looked pretty damn good last year.
Yeah.
But I like the way they attacked it in the spring to shore up any additional deficiencies to let them know, you know, where they need to be strong going into year two in the SEC. And speaking of Rusty, I think he was the one that said, it's almost like Arch Manning. He's on that rookie contract. You got to get the most out of it because he's making money from Texas. He's making money from all the huge NIL offers he's got. Whoever the next quarterback is at Texas, it ain't going to be a Manning.
No,
he's probably going to be asking for a lot of money because
a lot of zeros. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of zeros. Hell, I mean, they're so cheap in that department. They went out and got another quarterback. So no other SEC team could get them.
All right. The number five offseason in the SEC, according to ESPN, Shane. I just give you a hint. You ain't going to like it. Florida Gators, come on down, brother. What went wrong? Well, DJ Lagway, unable to really compete in the spring. That was less than ideal. I lost a couple guys to the NFL, but what went right, Shane? Top 20 returning production across the board. They didn't lose a lot of guys via the portal. Didn't add a lot either. But so does that mean they're happy with their roster? Or does it mean they're overvaluing their roster? Could be one, could be the other. But what's your thoughts, Shane, when you hear old Florida, number 5 in the SEC, as the best offseason in the conference?
Kind of surprises me. You know, I just thought you and Josh Pate, you know, and all this Florida love, I thought you're just making it up, you know? Because when I saw the portal, I saw a lot of kids leave, a lot of highly touted kids leave. And, so, yes, I do think they were very active, and this is just me refusing to give them the attention they deserve, Mike, you know, but we get about 4 or 5 wins in, we'll turn this thing back on. I said, I knew it all along, man.
Yep. Mm-mm-mm. All right. Number 6.
Before you jump to that one.
Yes, sir.
Do you think, I mean, because it wasn't a lot of splash pickups, you know, the teams we talked to by now, I mean, we talked about Arnold, we talked about all those receivers, we talked about Mateer. You know, there was a lot of flash with those first few teams. It feels like Florida just fixed some holes. They patched up a few things. Is that kind of how you feel maybe this offseason went for them? Shored up some weaknesses, if you will?
Perhaps, but here's the rub with old Billy, Shane.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying anything. People in the comments, even the Florida fans will admit this. Not an elite game day coach, right? Like, that's not his. I'm not saying he's like totally an idiot. No, he does make some idiotic decisions out there, but that's not his strength. His strength is identifying talent, recruiting talent, getting them to campus.
Mm-hmm.
He does a hell of a job. He really does. Again, DJ Lagway is from Texas, Shane. So why didn't he go to Texas? Why didn't he go to A&M? I know those schools liked him, but he went to Florida. Their running back, Jaden Baugh, he may be the best sophomore running back in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
When he was at Louisiana, he had a couple guys like Montrell Johnson and I always forget that guard's name, Osiris Torrance. I mean, he brought those guys to Florida. They were instant impact players at Florida.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the guy's got a long track record of identifying and developing talent. So this tells me we're in year 4 now, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got upperclassmen now that he recruited and developed, and they're ready to play now. And I think he's got a lot of confidence in his ability to get these guys ready to play. And that's a big reason why I like Florida. But again, if you're asking me, let's just pull up, at LSU against Texas, at A&M. If he's got to make a critical coaching decision or two down late in the game.
Yeah.
I don't have confidence in him to get it done. Do you?
No. Especially if special teams are involved.
But if they can out talent, then maybe they can, you know, but that only gets you so far in the SEC. Cause hell, all these teams are talented.
Well, and to be fair, that's the one positive thing I will say about that run they had last year. I felt like that was more about the players developing than it was Billy coaching, if that makes sense, which, you know, the positive spin on that is I think they're going to be even better with yet another offseason to develop. So Florida may change, you know, it's just, again, for me, it wasn't the splashy pickups, and maybe that's just a kid in me looking for the big names, you know?
Yeah. You want the shiny object that you get all excited about. Yeah. Like, you're like JoJo the little Indian boy, right?
JoJo the little Indian
boy. Well, this next team got plenty of them, Shade. So how about Georgia? Number 6 offseason in the SEC, according to ESPN. What went wrong? The whole timing of Carson Beck, you know, his injury, he declared, and then he left, you know, kind of in the middle of the night. They got to replace 13 draft picks and 17 transfers, but they added a bunch of key guys, Shane, like Zachariah Branch at receiver, Noah Thomas at receiver. They got some key defenders back, like Dalen Everett and Christian Miller, who could have went to the NFL. They added a Illinois running back, Josh McCray, who led that team won 10 games. He was their leading rusher. He's coming to Georgia to be a backup. And, of course, another elite signing class coming to Athens. So a lot to like. And finally, you know, Georgia's never in a position where they got to, like, blow up their roster and get all these transfers like an Ole Miss or something.
Yeah.
But they did have deficiencies. And this is the first time Kirby, I think, really attacked that via the transfer portal. And I think that'll pay off for him.
I like, here's the flashy side, you know, the Branch boys coming in. Noah, I think Noah's secret. I think he hasn't had the opportunity to showcase how great he can be. I think he'll be able to do that there in Georgia. And brother, I don't know, maybe because I hated watching this offense for so long that now I'm looking at these guys and I'm saying, man, this could be something special if they put it together. I like the recruiting class. I'm more about the recruiting classes and the development that's already there than it is the portal. But I just feel like the attachments they've made to this team could really take them to the next level. I mean, how awesome would it? What would have happened if the Branch boys and Noah were on that team during that Notre Dame game? You know, I think Georgia would have walked away the victor there. So I feel like that is the big one for me.
My biggest question, and we'll never answer it, you know, in the offseason and lists like this, is just if we can get back to physicality and toughness that is like the DNA of Georgia.
Yeah.
We saw it against Texas, you know, whipped them on the line of scrimmage. We saw it against Tennessee, whipped them on the line of scrimmage, but they got whipped against Ole Miss.
Yeah.
On the line of scrimmage. I know Kirby's lost a couple games, not many, but I've never seen him get his ass whooped like they did at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Was that an outlier? Again, that team had 8 NFL picks on it, so maybe it was, but that startled me. And we got a couple teams like Alabama and Texas that could potentially do that to us this year. If that happens, I think that's going to be a very troubling sign that we've seen that in back-to-back years, if that makes sense.
It does. Yeah, definitely.
All right, number 7, Shane. Best offseason, according to ESPN. How about them fighting Texas A&M Aggies? Come on, Shane. What did they do? They went out and they got all these transfers at receiver and defensive back. What went wrong, though? Lost a bunch of linemen to the NFL, Shane. And they brought in a 5-star receiver, Micah Hudson. He lasted about as long as we did, playing college football. He made no impact whatsoever. But, hey, they brought back all the offensive linemen, second leading rushing attack in the SEC. So, you know, figures they'll be in line to be the best rushing attack next season. They did add Kevin Concepcion from NC State. He was outstanding 2 years ago. Mario Craver from Mississippi State. He was freshman All-American last year. Tight end Amari Nyblack. So they're adding pieces to help on that side of the football. But how they look on defense, the strides they make. I was very disappointed that they weren't better on the defensive side of the football. We'll have to see if Mike Elko hit all the right buttons to rebuild that side. You know what?
Yeah, and you know, we talked about the second year in the system, not just coordinators, but I think Elko, second year, you kind of always see that little bump. And I feel like A&M having, especially Reed, you know, work with these new receivers, these new toys all off season, they're, you know, Concepcion's going to be fun. You know, he's going to be exciting. And I think A&M will be fine there, but I'm with you. I was more concerned about the defense because I thought that was going to be the bread and butter here. And I liked the ads they had. I felt like we missed a few in this portal window that really could have helped them up. But yeah, I still do think that they're more toward the top than they are the bottom.
And I know we've talked about this a little bit in the offseason, Shane. Marcel Reed, second year.
Yeah.
He kind of gets lost in the shuffle of all these potentially great quarterbacks we have in the conference. You got to remember this time last year, I mean, he was not even on the radar for someone that could start a single game for A&M.
Yeah.
And he come in and he was like a spark. And again, it didn't end like he wanted or the team wanted. So, you know, I think that's part of him getting lost in the shuffle. But year two in the offense, the first year as getting all the snaps. I mean, even in fall camp, he didn't get the snaps.
Yeah.
Getting all the snaps. We know we're moving with him. He's such a different player than Connor Wigman. I think Colin Klein, I think he fits what Klein wants to do much better. And we can retool the offense to fit his strengths even more now that we got months and months to prepare for it. I think that's probably a narrative that very, very few people are talking about that they probably should.
Yeah. I mean, when you have your guy, you know, and then you go to the portal, you're not just, I felt like last year they were just casting a wide net and praying they get some bodies there. Now I feel like it was a little more surgical and tailored around what they currently have on offense and defense. So, you know, I'm not saying Texas A&M was in the running for an SEC championship late in October last year. So they're not far off. And I feel like that should be the positive spin there, is A&M did just enough to finally get to that next level. So I still think they're another year away, but I may be wrong. You know me, I'm down on the Maggies. So,
well, speaking of a team looking for a second year bump, Shane, number 8, best offseason in the SEC, according to ESPN. Bama, Shane, Alabama. Mm-hmm. What went wrong? Lost 23 scholarship players to the portal, and most of them landed to Power 4 schools. But I hate to say it, but I think that was kind of, you can see that coming. In the transition away from the Nick Saban, those were all Nick Saban guys, I assume. Yep. But what went right? They returned 14 players, Shane, that started 6 or more games last year. So I'll say again, 14 players back that started 6 or more games last year. And they attacked the portal to bring in Isaiah Horton from Miami, an offensive lineman, Cam Dewberry from A&M. And, man, they signed arguably the top recruiting class. I think Texas officially got the number one, but Alabama was up there for a lot of it. So a lot of talent coming in year two, getting Ryan Grubb back as offensive coordinator. I think that'll be huge for the Crimson Tide. But I think this is more about not being such a chaotic offseason.
Yeah.
Remember Nick Saban, the greatest, retires, and then all these guys hit the portal, and here comes, you know, Kalen DeBoer, and what's his staff going to look like? How are the players? You know, there was just so much uncertainty. It was one of the biggest talking points in all of college football last year. Now it's a much more calm. Yeah. You know, they can get down to business. They know their role. I think they've probably weeded out. I'm not saying those players are bad, but they've probably weeded out the guys that don't fit or don't want to be there. And now they can move forward with everybody that is fully invested in the Kalen DeBoer system.
Well, I mean, it felt like there was some give up in this team, you know, after the South Carolina game, after the Vanderbilt game. And again, this feels a little more like DeBoer's team and not Jalen Milroe's team. And we don't know what that dynamic was, but it never felt like we've got to see what this team's going to look like moving forward. Year two, we see that, Mike. And yes, did we lose a lot of people in the portal? And I think that's why they're so low here. I get that, but like you, I really love this recruiting class. I don't know how much of an impact they're going to have year one. This is a kind of a wait and see approach, but they still kept a lot of talent around. They went out, they got a lot of talent. And I think Alabama, yeah, didn't steal the headlines, you know, during the transfer window, but I think they're going to surprise a few folks this year, because again, it's going to mirror what Kalen wants to do, not what he had to do last year.
Yeah, and speaking of that recruiting class, Shane, they're not afraid to play young players.
Nope.
Remember, it was like this time last year, or maybe in fall camp, they were like, man, Ryan Williams, he's dynamic. And I said, buddy, if a true freshman's your number one receiver, you might got some problems. And it turns out, nope, I was an idiot. He's amazing. You know what?
He's pretty good.
All right, the number 9 offseason in the SEC, according to ESPN, Shane. Mizzou, come on down. This is fascinating, Shane. I didn't realize this, but they lost 11 starters, right?
Right.
They brought in a guy. They brought in 11 transfers to replace those guys. I didn't realize it was like that one-to-one, but according to ESPN, it is. Bo Prabula, of course, from Penn State. Everybody I talked to loves this running back they brought in from UL Monroe, Shane, Ahmad Hardy. Mm-hmm. He had over 1,300 yards last year. Kevin Coleman, we know him, the receiver from Mississippi State. He was dominant. And they brought in 2 offensive tackles to shore up his offensive line. The linebacker, Josiah Trotter from West Virginia, was an All-American. Defensive back Stephen Hall from Washington State. And one of our favorites, Jalen Catalon, the Cat, Arkansas, Texas, UNLV. He switches about every year. But he's going to wind up at Missouri, Shane. So, you know, again, not a bad offseason by any means for Missouri. Loading up on the defensive side with the transfers and shoring up some of the offensive departures with some guys that have big-time potential. Thoughts on Missouri being the number 8 offseason in the SEC. Number nine, according to ESPN.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. You lose some, you gain some, and it was, and what I like about it was a lot of it was on that defense side, and I felt like at we always talked about the monsters they've had on offense, but sometimes we neglect what production they've been getting out of that defense. So being able to reload, that was big, and on the offensive side, I think Coleman's one of the best receivers in the country. And somebody that could be the bread and butter. They always like to have that one guy. And I feel like Coleman's going to be the one that steals a lot of attention to make life a little easier. So question marks. The big one for me, Mike, with this Mizzou portal especially, there's a lot more question marks with it. And, because we've got some guys that just haven't been able to prove it yet. But we may look back, 8 months from now and at this and say, dude, Mizzou had the steal of the, or we may look back and said, yeah, that didn't work out. We're going to have to rebuild or something, but I'm kind of right in the middle with this one because of those question marks.
Yeah. When you start talking bread and butter, I'm like, it's dinner time over here at Shane's house.
Don't mention bread. Where's your best bread? Like if you were to like go into a restaurant, if you were power ranking the top three breads,
I don't even know if this place still exists, Shane, but yeah. Growing up, they're in Morristown. I loved Fazoli's. Is that still there?
Oh yeah. Fazoli's still there. They moved it. They got a new one. it's still, I'm never was a Fazoli's guy. Like
free breadsticks. I mean, that's elite.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some others. I know this sounds totally lame, but I try not to eat bread these days, you know what I mean?
It's like a before and after. This guy eats bread, this guy doesn't. So your list may be trash. So let me, Texas Roadhouse got to be number one for me. Number two, Cracker Barrel, because you get biscuits and cornbread. And then number three, I would probably go with, Charlie's used to have some really good rolls, but
yeah,
since they've changed, this new outfit is just, and I hope they'll probably never be a sponsor of the show, but they're trash. It's just, just tiny little biscuit. I mean, I don't see anything like it. They used to be great, man. Potato soup. Like I would go in just for potato soup and rolls, 'cause I was poor and I would wear it. Maybe that's why they changed the menu, 'cause the guys like me, I'd put this one on there too. Cheddar biscuits. I'd put that as one there. At Red Lobster, those are still pretty damn good.
I don't think there's much better than if you go to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. You ever see those bags that are like, they look like aluminum foil. I know they're not foil, but, and then you stick them in the oven and it's like Italian bread.
Yeah. Oh, you like that Italian. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something about it. I'm not a big bread. I would do like garlic knots. Those are good. Something like that.
Hey, how about this question from a retired working man? What do they call it when you stand up and feel dizzy AF and everybody says old? There's like,
Tuesday morning. Yeah. I've got some of those myself,
Yep. All right.
Took my nighttime meds. So what we got here?
You went a little early on the food talk, but all right, let's do South Carolina. Number 10, Shane, number 10 offseason, according to ESPN. Now, here's the problem, Shane. They lost 20 scholarship players via the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Only one start, though. Oh, 20 players. Ooh. You lost 20, only one could start. That tells me none of those guys, could really play at an elite level.
Mm-hmm.
Bring back Sellers, bring back Dylan Stewart. I can't imagine what they had to pay those guys. Here's the problem, though, Shane. Everybody talks up this running back they got from Utah State, Rasul Faison.
Uh-huh.
He had, I think, like 1,500 yards last year, something crazy. The NCAA has still not made him eligible.
Uh-oh.
And Beamer's like been going off about this, and I agree with him. It's ridiculous. Hell, it's made something. And the NCAA loses every damn case, so I don't know what in the hell is a holdup. But if they don't have him, I don't know if they have a true number one running back right now. They added a bunch of guys via the portal, but to your shiny objects, they didn't get a ton of shiny objects down there in Columbia. So I think this is probably fair. South Carolina number 10 offseason. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, Beamer's not quite at the reload stat, you know, like Georgia. We always joke they don't rebuild, they reload. Mm-hmm. And we were worried, especially for how many kids they put in the NFL, which I think speaks volumes to what they're doing over there in Columbia. So some of these names that we may not be given the respect right now, don't think that they won't be at the end of the year another one drafted to the NFL. So that's just kind of what Shane Beamer has proven that he can do over there. So yeah, it's not the splashy names except for Demon. Of course, that's a splashy name, but but other than that, I'm right there with you. This is kind of a retool. And I feel like we had to get some warm bodies in certain spots, and that's exactly what the Gamecocks did here.
And everybody underrates you bringing back key players. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Auburn had a $3 million offer to Sellers.
Yeah.
You know, so when you bring someone like, of course you want him back, but then it's like, all right, who we getting? Like, well, we just spent the damn farm to get a guy. He may be the best player in the country. You know, would you rather not have him and we can add 10 flashy free agents? I'd rather have that damn quarterback that put the team on his back and beat Clemson. You know what?
It's like the Arch Manning effect without the NIL deals. You know, they had to pay up. You know, you had to get that franchise quarterback, but because of that, you're going to hurt in other areas. So I feel like that kind of happened here. Not to mention keeping kids. You know, all those kids went to the NFL. They, you know, you put them on a different team where there's more money involved. You may have been able to keep two or three of them behind for another season. They didn't have the fortune to do that.
Right. How about this, Shane? This was surprising, but I get it. Ole Miss, number 11 offseason, according to ESPN. Because, you know, they add all these guys, you're saying, well, hell, they're loaded up, right? Well, they lost 8 draft picks. That's more than ever in Ole Miss history. And 14 other guys, Shane, went undrafted, but have been signed by NFL teams. So they were absolutely loaded. Mm-hmm. They had 24 scholarship players exit via the portal. But like they always do, they brought in 28 new guys via the portal. So, you know, I ended up on the plus side there and added a bunch of defensive backs, 5 offensive linemen. The number was 7 defensive backs, 5 offensive linemen, a top tight end, Luke Hawes. They got a running back, Damian Taylor from Troy. And so, again, you're bringing guys in, you're losing guys. Number 11 seems a bit harsh, but I think it's just hard to judge Ole Miss. We have to give them the benefit of the doubt because they know what they're doing when it comes to bringing these guys in, getting them ready to play. But just massive, massive turnover is just hard to ignore.
It is. But, you know, I think that's more of a product of what they did last year. You know, they went out last year and got the big names at all the schools, and now they're, you know, they're basically still in Arkansas's players now. So it's not as exciting. But it's still, you know, it's who he is. He's the portal king for a reason. And one thing that Lane has proven is he can find the talent, you know, and maybe because we're not recognized, it doesn't mean they're not good or that they're not great. This may be a great class. And I feel like Lane is happy. He's content with what he has here. So it's tough for me to dock an Ole Miss offseason because this is how it works. You're going to put people in the league. It's almost like a farm. You're going to bring someone else to replace them and then move them up. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much Ole Miss struggles with the fact that it, I mean, obviously if you follow college football at all, you know, they bring in these guys, right? They pay a lot. Yeah. And that's awesome. Again, nothing wrong with it. That's, you know, I think the only fans that take issue with that when it comes specifically to Ole Miss is they're jealous because their school's probably not spending that money and they get angry about it. But when you're a free agent and Ole Miss is interested in you and you know the fact that they pay a lot, mm-hmm. you know, they're not alone in this, but I wonder how many of these players are like, well, you're Ole Miss. This is what you do. I'm going to need an extra of 300,000 or 200,000 or whatever your number is. Let's up it by a couple hundred thousand because we know they'll pay it. They're probably getting hit with that left and right.
Yeah.
And you know, they probably have reached a point where whatever these guys are asking, they're like, well, you know, you're only worth 300,000. You want 500,000? You know what I mean? Like because their reputation is paying. I mean, that's probably the landscape they're dealing with too.
Oh, I would imagine. Could you imagine the conversations about the players that aren't even on that campus that came in? Like, because everybody says, well, go see what Ole Miss will pay you. They'll pay anybody, you know. I think they use that as a gauge to see what how much they're worth, if you will.
Yeah. All right. The number 12 offseason, Shane. How about Commodores? Come on down. What do we do? We lost four starting offensive linemen and two safeties with 68 career starts. But, of course, we got Diego Pavia back. We got All-American tight end Eli Stowers back. Top three returning tacklers are back. And then they went into the portal, Shane, and added four offensive linemen. So, you know, they're trying to kind of – number 12 is a little harsh considering you're bringing back some elite talent.
Yeah.
But I get it. I get it. And they are number one across the board in the SEC, returning offensive production, returning defensive production. I think they should be a little bit higher than this. But ESPN hates Vanderbilt. We all know that.
For me, it wasn't what you got. It's what you kept. And Vanderbilt, if you think about 24, you know, boy, they got run through, you know. They came in there like it was a damn Dollar G, you know what I'm saying? And they picked up every nice item that they found on clearance. And I don't feel like that happened this offseason, which is huge. I think that's the first step for success of Coach Lee there at Vanderbilt. And a lot of that has to do with Pavia. But, again, you're setting a new standard there. And so you had some kids that – I mean, I was blown away that some of those kids stuck around, but they're there to do some special things. So yeah, the fact you kept them, that's why I got them a little higher.
Yeah. And it's, you're not going to sneak up on people this year though.
No.
Like Razor Bass is asking how many SEC teams Vanderbilt upset, Shane. And, first of all is I was going to say Kentucky. I don't even think that is an upset. So we can't include that, but how about Auburn? I mean, I'm not counting that as an upset. I know you are, so that'd be one for me. Give me Auburn, and probably give me, again, I'm not counting Kentucky as an upset. They'll probably get two others.
I like Ken Musk. Says Vandy will be like a wide field goal. No good.
All right, number 13, Shane. Speaking of no good, Kentucky, come on down. Number 13, yeah. Offseason, according to ESPN. Shane, what went wrong? Lost a bunch of NFL defenders, Deion Walker, Jamon Dumas Johnson, Zion Childress, and lost a bunch of pass catchers, Dane Key, Barry and Brown. What went right? Added Zach Calzada, added a couple offensive linemen, added, it's pretty bad, Shane, their article on their defensive linemen.
Yeah.
They said we got David Gusta from Washington State, and we got a guy from South Dakota to shore up our defensive line. And I'm sitting here saying, my word, Kentucky is relying on these guys to shore up our defense. I mean, I'm honestly surprised Kentucky was just number 13. I thought they'd be a little bit lower.
I mean, I don't want to kick them while they're down, Mike, but I'm right there with you. This was not a successful offseason, in my opinion, because when Kentucky was at peak, it seems like they were always getting one or two kids that were using Kentucky as a stepping stone to get to the NFL. I'm talking like first rounders, not just six-round picks or, you know, getting picked up after the draft. I'm talking some talent, and they didn't get it. They in a year they really needed it, I felt like this was the year they had trouble at least getting talent to Lexington. Now, I may be wrong, again, because I'm not the whisperer here of talent in the college ranks, but, you know, we get to the end of the year, I would venture to say that we still look at this as a low offseason, and we blame it on coaches' lack of performance, if you will.
Right. And then noticeably absent, Shane. Tennessee, the 14th
damn
best offseason. What went wrong? Of course, the Nico saga, losing some key players to the NFL. What went right? They say, well, they got Joey Aguilar. They added a couple guys via the portal. They did get a five-star offensive lineman, David Sanders, and a elite borderline five-star defensive lineman, Isaiah Campbell. So not all bad, but I mean, I even the most orangest of glasses, I don't think many people are sitting here saying it was a hell of an offseason for Tennessee. Do you?
Yeah. I mean, we were making room, you know. That's all it was. We were getting the cancer out of the locker room. Now we could focus on winning a national championship. But no, I'm with you. On paper, yeah, it's easy to say.
Cousin Mike says, let's go back to talking business.
Yeah, you don't want to see a sad shade. How do you fix that? We talked bread.
That number 15, I was surprised this too, but
Cheesecake Factory has some good bread. And I'm just throwing that one out there. They got a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but it's a very good place.
Hey, speaking of diet progress, Shane, real quick.
Yeah.
I went to Cheesecake Factory over the weekend, got two pieces of cheesecake. I didn't touch a single one of them. They were for my mom for Mother's Day. That's when you know you're doing good. When you're buying cheesecake and you don't touch it.
What kind did you get?
I got her, she really likes raspberry. I think it's called white truffle raspberry, something or other. And then I figured the classic, see, I surprised her, so I didn't ask her the one she wanted. So I figured, you know, strawberry vanilla type. And then I got her the classic Oreo. I mean, literally everybody likes the Oreo one. Oreo. So I figured I couldn't go wrong with those two selections.
Oreo's mine. That's my go-to. They changed the cookie up top. It used to be a big Oreo. Yeah. Now they don't do that. I guess, you know, times are tough, but still the OG.
Now it's like a Costco cookie.
it's like a legitimate Oreo cookie, or maybe the place I was at just ran out of them, but I kind of enjoyed
a Ritz cracker on there.
Yeah, because that big wafer, even though it is sweet, sometimes you can get too deep in that chocolate. It's just like, damn, I need to even this out with a cup of coffee and a little bit of that. So it's tough. That's one of the toughest desserts to finish. And I'm a big guy. Of course, I do. Don't worry. I get it done. But it's one of the toughest because it's so rich. Damn, that's a good cheesecake.
Yeah, Shane's in the fourth quarter on that one. All right. Yeah. Number 15 offseason, Shane. Arkansas. What went wrong? Lost damn near everybody in the portal, Shane. And they said they failed to add anybody that's going to replace running back Jaquinton Jackson, outstanding receiver Andrew Armstrong, and defensive lineman Landon Jackson, which I would agree with all that. But what went right? Their offensive line was very subpar. Once again, they added six offensive linemen. They added receiver Omega Blake. They added a couple of Raylan Sharp from Fresno. They added a lot of G5 guys, Shane. So this is like, prove it to me that you can play at this level all across the board. That's a risky, risky proposition, and it certainly feels like they went on the cheap a little bit on when it comes to bringing in NIL guys, but maybe that's just the reality of where they're at right now.
Yeah. JP says, sounds like Shane's diet's shaky right about now. It does, don't it? It does sound a little rough, but I think Sam's come out here. He said the right things. He seems confident, which either he's at peace with the situation or he realizes he had a pretty good offseason. And I think keeping your quarterback was a plus. I think keeping your OC was a plus. There was a lot of people worried that there'd be some sort of fallout, and there was. There were some kids hit the portal, obviously, but I don't think it really changed the over-under. This is exactly where we had them. So, yeah, I would probably put them more toward the middle than the bottom. I'd definitely have them over Kentucky because I hate Kentucky right now.
Hey, Hogs Raiders, Shane, real quick, rank your cheesecakes.
Oreo, I like the peanut. Are we talking all cheesecakes or just at the Cheesecake Factory?
I don't really know. I think you'd rank any across the world.
My number one is Mamaw's cheesecake. Yeah. And let me tell you real quick about Mamaw. I love Mamaw. Rest in peace. She would make this cheesecake, and it was it wasn't a graham cracker. She did like a pecan crust. I don't know. I can't explain it.
I know how to make it.
It was, don't tease me. Then there was a regular, then there was the dark chocolate, and then there was like a layer of just like chocolate ganache type stuff on the top. And true story, my mama, she's just like me. She says, Shane, she goes, I made a new recipe on this cheesecake, and I'm eating it. I was like, tastes exactly the same, mama. And she says, yeah, but I used the third fat. cheesecake instead of the one, like the regular cheese cream cheese. She used the 1/3. So she said, God is my witness, it's healthier. So that's my favorite cheesecake, number one. And then at the Cheesecake Factory, give me the Oreo. I do like peanut butter, but I don't know. I think it takes a little bit away from it. The Oreo is a good balance. So those are my top three right there.
Yeah. So much for quick, but you know, it takes 2 days to make that damn thing, Shane. Did you know that?
No, because you don't make it. Not had it. John knows the recipe. You know the recipe. Apparently the only one eating the damn thing doesn't know the recipe. So that's probably good
for your safety.
Probably,
yeah. It's
like break in case of emergency.
All right, last one real quick, Shane. 16th, of course. Man, they can't catch any breaks this year, Shane. Mississippi State, ESPN rated them the worst offseason. What went right? Well, they bring back the quarterback, Blake Shapen. Brought in 7 transfers on the offensive line, 8 defensive linemen via the transfer portal, but 33 scholarship players exited the program. And everybody loves this running back they got. Fluff, Shane, what a name. Fluff Bothwell. Mm-hmm. I think you're gonna like that this running back, but aside from that, not a lot going right for Mississippi State these days.
No, you're right. You are right, but you know this is again similar to a wish version of Alabama. You know, maybe you need to kind of clean that locker room up a little bit, and you know, Libby to have any chance for this to get any type of traction. It's got to be his system. And honestly, the revolving door needs to stop. And I hope that happens after a year too. But this is a class that may be kind of the foundation of what he's wanting to create there, if you will, because it felt like some of these picks were personal.
Yeah, it's almost like he's making a cheesecake and he's got to get the ingredients right. You know what?
Just right, because you mess up. You're still going to eat it.
All right. Anything else, buddy, before we hop off here?
No. I mean, anytime we talk food, I'm all for it, Mike. But I appreciate everybody tuning in. Don't forget, we got some great interviews. I've already mentioned the Georgia one, but I want to talk about my boy, Tennessee Sparks. You can't go wrong. Great stuff. Thank you for putting the effort in, Mike. And be sure to hit the thumbs up. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be able to eat cheesecake if it weren't for you guys.
Well, don't say that. Maybe they want us to lose some LBs. Yeah. They stop showing up. Yeah. But yeah, hey, we got another interview coming. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I may post it on Friday, but it's going to hit on all 16 SEC teams. So that should be a fun one. We have another in studio, hopefully come out on Saturday. So channel's absolutely loaded. I'm thinking we'll wrap it up tomorrow, Jay, with a mailbag. So speaking of food, we'll save your food questions for the mailbag. But that's going to do it on this episode. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.